Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible. Let's go to the book of James. James chapter 2, if you will, in the Word of God. James chapter 2 tonight. You'll flip over there, and then we'll move around mostly in the New Testament tonight. But want to speak to you on one of the sacred cows in the world today, just for a little bit. James chapter 2, if you have an old Scofield Reference Bible, it's on page 1307. If you have a new Scofield Reference Bible, get you an old one, all right? So, but anyway, that's for sure. All right, James chapter 2, look there, if you will, down in verse 8. The Bible said, if you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Yep. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. I said I want to speak on one of the sacred cows of the world. I turned in the title of the message tonight, and I said tolerance. But maybe it ought to be intolerance, I'm not sure. But there is a controversy, you know, raging, and especially among Christians. And people say, well, man, you ought to be more tolerant, you ought to be more tolerant. And there's a lot of people today that seemingly can tolerate everything except intolerance, all right? They just have a problem. But we that are fundamentalists are often accused of being intolerant of other people. Had the funeral this afternoon, and there at the graveside, one of the funeral directors talking to me, and we were talking, and he said, your church, Pastor, the Baptist church, yeah. He said, man, he said, when you were speaking, you sounded more like an Assembly of God preacher. I said, well, I said, here's the deal, all right? I'm not a Southern Baptist, all right? Amen. I said, But finally I told him, I said, man, you're looking at an old-time, independent, fundamental Baptist. I said, the one thing I do, and I had a Bible in my hand, I said, I believe this book. Amen. And he said, man, yeah, that's good. I said, I believe it. And but a lot of times they look upon us as intolerant. And intolerant is a word that's used as if it is the worst thing you could possibly be. But I want to say something to you. Tolerance is really overrated, okay? Tolerance is really overrated. I'll give you some examples, okay? I had a great uncle. His name was Johnny Morgan. And Uncle Johnny, he was one of the most intolerant people I've ever known. Just intolerant. And now the bad thing is I was 27, 28 years old before I found it out. Right. I'd known him all my life, but I didn't know how intolerant he was until I went to visit them. And we went to their house, and he said something about, you want to go out and see my garden? And I said, well, sure, yeah. So I went out in his garden, and it was while I was there I found out what an intolerant man he was, all right? I went out there, and I found out he couldn't tolerate weeds. Amen. He just absolutely could not tolerate weeds. Now, my brother and I, and we were at home. Dad, he had a garden, and because he had one, we did too, when we lived with him. And so he said, y'all help. And so we'd get out there. Now, we're not intolerant gardeners. I'm not intolerant of weeds, and I don't care for them that much. But I'm not just going to go crazy the way my Uncle Johnny did, all right? I mean, he was intolerant. I went out there in his garden. Honestly, everything was in that garden is what he planted. Everything. You said, oh, there had to be a weed. You want to bet? Man, I went through that thing. There was every green thing growing was what he put there, all right? He was just absolutely intolerant of weeds. Now, I'll give you another example. I had a friend. Still have friends named Jesse Payton. Jesse Payton came. He was a pallbearer at Mom's funeral, and known him all my life too. And he's a Georgia boy, and I didn't know how intolerant he was. I'd known him for years.
Amen.
Until, man, I was in at least my 20s, and I went to visit him. And I found out he can't tolerate dirt.
Amen.
I mean, he just didn't do it. I was there at his house on a Sunday morning, and we were ready for church. We was waiting on his wife to finish getting ready. Next thing I know, he's pulling out the vacuum cleaner. I'm looking, there ain't a speck of dirt anywhere on the carpet. He's got the vacuum cleaner. I just run over it a little bit, you know. Now, he was a pilot. He's a corporate pilot, and I went out to the hangar where he kept his airplane. I promise you. Promise you, you could have eaten off the floor of that hangar and there wouldn't have been any grit in your meal, all right? It was immaculate, immaculate. He came out here one time flying some people and he landed out at Meacham and he'd called us and let us know he's going to be there. We went out to meet him and he said, I'll be right back just a second. And the next thing I see him, he's coming out of the airplane carrying cups and stuff like that, throwing them in the trash can. He couldn't tolerate it. Just intolerant individual. I know some of you sit there and think, well, that's different. That is just different. Wait a minute. You think it's okay to not tolerate germs, poison, dirt, weeds, that kind of stuff. But let's see what's the most important, all right? You're going to find out this book right here is an intolerant book. It is an intolerant book. Our text says so. Look at there. Look what it says, all right? Says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point. Come on, just one thing. And he said, you're guilty of every bit of it. In other words, if you break one of those laws, you've broken the whole thing. You've broken the whole thing. What an intolerant attitude to have. But that's what the Word of God says. But let me just give you a few things, right? Go back to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, I want you to see this. Man, what a tremendous verse, and got the testimony. We have the first persecution that's mentioned of Christians in the New Testament, and Peter's one of those that's persecuted, and he gets brought in before the Sanhedrin, and he stands up, and he preaches to them, and he says this, look in verse 10, be it known unto you all, notice Southerner, unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now here's the intolerant part. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Boy, you see those words, none other name. That's pretty exclusive, all right? That's pretty exclusive. See, in our day, the thing that's pushed is inclusive. We need to be inclusive. But so much in the Bible is exclusive. There's some things we won't tolerate, all right? John chapter 8 and verse 24 says this, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, not going to cut you any slack. He said, if you don't believe that I am he, you'll die in your sin. You don't have a chance. He says here in Acts chapter 4, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no salvation in any other name. He said, well, I don't like that. Well, tough. I didn't write the Bible. Doesn't matter if we like it. Doesn't matter if you like it. The Bible says that is the case, all right? That is the case. Salvation's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Forgiveness of sins is in him. It's not in anybody else. Not in anybody else. You say, well, I happen to believe. You can believe anything you want to. And by the way, I can believe anything I want to. But this book says there's none other name. There's none other name. Look back, if you will, in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. If you can't see the exclusiveness and the intolerance right there in Acts chapter 4, maybe you can figure it out and see it here in 1 John chapter 5, way over near the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 5, down in verse 11, we find these words. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Right. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. I want you to notice how simple it is. Notice how simple it is. The Bible says either you have him or you don't.
Right.
He said, if he that hath the Son, in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, according to the Word of God, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not one of his.
Amen.
And you're not on your way to heaven.
Right.
You're not going. If you don't have him, then the Bible said you're headed for hell.
Right.
Well, wait a minute, I'm a good person. Good people go to hell.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Good people go to hell. See, we can't tolerate that attitude. We can't tolerate. A lot of people can't tolerate it. They just can't take it. They say, well, I believe this. I believe that I can get to heaven by my good works. But you can't. But you can't. You see, the one that controls it says, either you believe that I'm he, or you'll never make it. You'll never. If you don't have me, if you don't have the Son of God, then you don't have life. You don't have it. You don't have that eternal life. Now, boy, people don't like it, but that leaves no toleration for Muslims, Jews, unconverted Jews, never trusted Christ.
Right.
You said, wait a minute, I thought you said, preacher, they're God's chosen people. They are. But if they don't choose him, they'll die and go to hell.
Right.
The Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons,
Amen.
The Buddhists, and a whole lot more.
Right.
Well, preacher, you're just so narrow-minded. Now, you can get upset about it. But it's the Word of God. And it is the Word of God. And God called me to preach this book,
Amen.
Not the way maybe I would like for it to be, but to preach this book. Hey, when it comes to eternal life, there's one way.
Amen.
It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have him, if you've never trusted him, hey, you're lost. You see, the Lord is intolerant about himself. Now, I know I've heard what other people said, the folks that said, well, I just don't believe a loving God send people to hell. I'll say it again. He doesn't. You choose to go. You go, it'll be because you chose to go. You chose to reject his Son. You chose. Well, I didn't know. Well, have you been paying attention? I've been trying to tell you. Without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have a chance.
Amen.
You don't have a chance. Hey, it's not your goodness. It's not my goodness. Hey, the Lord is intolerant about himself. But why not? One that would go to all that trouble to send his Son. The Bible says in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Right.
Hey, remember that crowd that stood at the cross and mocked him and reviled him? And the Lord hung on that cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right.
Hey, he'll forgive you, but you've got to come to him.
Amen.
You've got to come to him for forgiveness. Hey, he's intolerant about himself. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. That's right after Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians. And then we have the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. If you get to Ephesians or Philippians or Colossians, you've gone too far. Back up a little bit, all right? There you are, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Here's the Apostle Paul. God called the Apostle Paul. Hey, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a man that kept a strict adherence to the law, a life that would make most people look sorry and wicked compared to him. But that man realized, hey, I need the Savior. and he trusted Christ. And look what God had him write here in verse 6, Galatians 1. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. How intolerant can you be? As we said before, in case you didn't hear it, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be cursed.
Amen.
I don't tell you, the Bible makes it pretty plain that the Lord's pretty intolerant when it comes to the gospel.
Amen.
Now you say, what do you mean? I mean the gospel's not to be tampered with.
Amen.
The gospel is not to be tampered with. Here it is. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a sinless life. He died a substitutionary death. He died that death for you and for me, and he was buried, and he was in the grave 3 days, but he rose again, triumphing over death. And the Bible says, hey, because he rose, we have hope to rise. We do. But you've got to believe that gospel. You've got to take that gospel. And that gospel is not to be messed with. There's a lot of people today that would seek to add to the gospel. They would seek to add to the gospel. They would add things like sacraments. They would add things like baptism. Hey, it's not enough for you to believe the gospel. You've got to be baptized. It's not enough for you believe the gospel. You must take this sacrament. You must take the mass. You must do that. You must follow this ritual. You must follow that ritual. You've got to do these works. If you'll do those works, and if you don't do the works, you can't get salvation, or at least you can't keep it. All right, you've got to do those things. Hey, you've got to be a church member. Wait a minute, not just any church, but this specific church. Now, we don't believe that, all right?
Amen.
We don't believe that. I believe you can get saved anywhere.
Oh, yes.
I believe you can get saved anywhere. I believe you can get saved at home.
Right.
Some of you got saved at home.
Right.
Some of them maybe got saved at youth camp. You can get saved at youth camp. And you can get saved out on the street corner somewhere.
Oh,
yes. If you'll believe the gospel.
Right.
If you'll believe the gospel. And you can get saved. I've had people get saved in the front seat of my car. I'd take them out, and we'd go, and I remember one specific fellow that I took out. He was going to marry one of the girls in this church, and I didn't want him to get married to one of the girls in this church if he wasn't saved.
Amen.
So I took him out. We went to old drive-in that used to be on River Oaks Boulevard, Cottle's Drive-In.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it was a great place. Had the best Frosty Mug root beers you could get, all right? And we went out there. We were sitting in the front seat. We ordered what we wanted. I took the New Testament, put it between us on the seat, and I went through the plan of salvation. He sat over there, and he called upon the Lord to save his soul.
Amen.
He got saved in the front seat of a 1972 LTD.
Amen.
You can get saved anywhere, but you'll only get saved believing the gospel. Not something added to it. It wasn't, hey, do you believe Jesus died for you? Yes. Do you believe he rose again? Yes. All right. Have you been baptized? No, it wasn't that. Have you believed the gospel? Have you received Christ? It's that. We don't add anything to it.
Amen.
Have you taken Holy Communion? No, we don't add anything to it.
No.
We don't do it. And we don't believe. Now, that fellow's not always lived the life that I think he ought to live, okay? Doesn't. But I haven't gone to him and said, hey, buddy, you lost it. You lost it. Because you get saved without works, and you can stay saved without works.
That's right.
Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to have to be honest. I believe if you are saved, there'll be some works.
Right.
Now, they may not be consistent. They may not be all the time. And there can be backslide. But I believe there'll be something. I believe something will show up somewhere.
Sure. Yep.
but it doesn't mean you suddenly become perfect. Hey, what are you saying? I said, I'm saying the Bible's pretty intolerant when it comes to the gospel. Paul said, if you take any other gospel, he said, let him be accursed. You preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. And I find it interesting that right there in back-to-back verses, he says it twice. That's so kids can get it. Because you have to tell kids stuff twice. Because they're just staring at you. Right? I'm saying that for the benefit of my wife, teaches kindergarten, and we sometimes have conversations about kids. Hey, kids are kids. You know what? Adults are often kids, too. And you got to tell them twice. Hey, some people seek to take from the gospel. They'd tell you it's not the blood of Jesus Christ. It's just his death. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And the Bible tells us it was that pure, spotless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was required to pay our sin debt. All right? Now there's a host. There's a host of folks in the world today, in the religious world, in the broad spectrum of what is referred to as Christianity. You'll find some knuckleheads that will say, well, it's not necessary for you to believe in the literal physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they're right. But if you want to go to heaven, it is necessary.
Amen. Very necessary.
If you want to go to heaven, it's necessary. You've got to believe that gospel. Hey, the Bible tells us plainly, the Lord, he's intolerant about himself. He said, I'm the only way, that's it.
That's right.
He's intolerant about the gospel. Well, let me just give you a few more, all right? John chapter 2, would you? John chapter 2. This is one thing I don't think a lot of people realize, don't think about very much. John chapter 2 and verse 13. John chapter 2. Now, not the epistles of John where we were a while ago, but the gospel of John chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible said, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise.
Right.
Hey, the Lord's intolerant about his house. The Lord's intolerant about his house. He said it's to be a place of prayer. It's to be a place of worship. He said you've made it just another place to do business.
Right.
Just another place to do business. Hey, that's the Lord's house. It is a place of prayer. It is a place of worship. It's not an entertainment center. Now, I realize, because I don't want you to think, well, obviously, you don't know what you're talking about. I realize there's a huge difference between the Old Testament temple, if you will, and the New Testament church.
Yes, sir.
I realize a huge difference.
Great.
I realize that. The truth of the matter is the temple of God today is you as a child of God. Because the Holy Spirit lives within you.
That's right.
He's not contained in a building.
Sure.
All right, he's not contained in a building. All that said, I still believe with all my heart that a New Testament church building is a special place.
Amen.
It is a special place because it has been dedicated, set apart for the use of God, for the people of God, together in his name and to worship. And the Bible said where two or more are gathered in his name, he'll be there.
Right.
He'll be there. So yeah, I know there's a difference, but I want to tell you, this place is not a place for making money either.
No.
It's not a place for making money. I was watching, I don't even know how I got onto it. I was fooling around on the internet just a little bit this afternoon, and up came this blurb about fakes and charlatans in the ministry. And they talked about him raking in like Jesse Duplantis. Well, I'm sorry if he's your favorite hero, okay? But Jesse Duplantis getting up and saying God told him that this is the specific private jet that you're to fly on. Now, it only costs $54 million. And, there was a picture of him and the fake, excuse me, the fellow out here in on Lake Worth, or Eagle Mountain Lake, excuse me, and Kenneth Copeland, they were sitting talking together, and in that conversation, it was how that they couldn't fly on a regular jet, you know, like us peons have to fly on.
Amen.
And they couldn't fly on that because too many people would bother them.
Yes.
And they might even be, and one, they said, might even be making prayer requests. Well, the last thing I want you to bother me with is a prayer request,
yes,
all right?
Amen.
Now, I hope you hear the sarcasm there, all right?
Yes, sir.
I hope you hear that. But, hey, those characters have made merchandise of the house of God.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you, I believe God's intolerant about his house. Yeah. To this extent, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You see, this place belongs to the Lord, all right? It does not belong to me. Does not belong to me. My name's not on the deed. Hey, the reason church property is tax exempt is because our government recognizes it belongs to God.
Amen, that's right.
Now, that day may come to a screeching end in the near future, but right now they believe that it belongs to God, and a lower power cannot tax a higher power.
Amen.
All right? So, but if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 10, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, all right? Verse 40. Notice what the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order.
Amen.
Let all things be done decently and in order. So what's that talking about? Well, if you back up, you look at verse 23, it says, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and it goes on to talk about the order and the ministry of the gifts that are given and the way they're used in the local church, you get to the end of that chapter, verse 40, and you see this, let all things be done decently and in order. That's the way things are to be done in the house of God.
Amen.
We're to have that. This is not a place to play. We teach kids. We teach kids, hey, you don't run and play.
Amen.
In church. We teach kids. Now, you said, well, I saw so-and-so running and playing. We're teaching them, okay?
Amen.
Give them a chance.
Amen.
They got to learn it.
That's right.
They have to learn that. We teach them that. Hey, I don't believe there ought to be eating and drinking in the auditorium.
Amen.
I don't believe that ought to be here. Why don't I do it? You can survive for the 3 hours I'm going to preach without, all right, without having a snack, all right? You will make it, right? You will make it. Look, we need to understand that. Let everything be done decently in order. Why? This is the house of God. This is the house of God. We're to respect this place.
Amen.
We're to respect this place. We're to honor this place. Why? Because of who it belongs to. Because of who it belongs to. Very simply, we're to honor this place. The Lord's intolerant about his house, all right? Matthew chapter 23. Hang in there. This is the last point, okay? Matthew chapter 23. Would you look there with me? I just want you to see this business of tolerance is overrated. It's overrated. Matthew chapter 23. Look in verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone.
Amen.
Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess.
Amen.
Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also.
Amen.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
Amen.
Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
Yeah.
That's the message from a loving Savior. That's a message from one who said, you know what? I'm just intolerant about unholy living.
Come on.
Intolerant about unholy living. Our Lord didn't have a lot of patience with the crowd who wouldn't live right.
Amen.
And who tried to advertise that they were.
Right.
Now, we've got two extremes in the world today. We've got two extremes. We've got some of the crowd today that says it doesn't matter how you look on the outside. That doesn't make any difference. That's just what you are on the inside. And there's other ones that say, well, no, as long as the outside looks good, you can hide that stuff the inside. I think that was two extremes. You said, which one's right? Neither one of them.
Amen.
They're both wrong, okay? Because if you're only half right, you're wrong.
Amen.
If you're only half right, you're wrong.
Right.
The truth of the matter is, the Lord expects our life and our lip to match.
Amen.
He expects the outside to reflect what's on the inside.
Amen.
Though it's all part and parcel, all right? It is a one thing. We're not to, you know, just fancy up the outside to impress somebody here. But we're to fancy up and spiff up the inside too, all right? We're to work on that inward man. I believe this with all my heart. If you take care of the inward man will make sure the outward man looks right. If you can fix the guy on the inside, he'll make it on the outside. Man, Christianity is not for show. It is a life to live. And we live in a day where, man, it seems like people think anything is okay. Anything is okay. Anything is not okay. I believe with all my heart, friend, God demands from you and me. He demands the same thing from me that he demands from you.
Right.
You said, what's that? Our best. Our best.
Amen.
He wants the best you've got. He wants the best I've got. The best. Anything less than that's not good enough. Good enough. I've told kids in school, I said, here's the attitude you ought to be when you're taking tests. If the best you can make is 85, then you ought to make 85.
That's right. Amen.
And be happy and proud.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Satisfied. I did my best. But I said, bless God, if you can make 88 and you make 85, you're wrong.
Amen. That's right.
Because you ought to make 88. You ought to make 88. If you can make 100, you ought to make 100. You ought to make 100. You shouldn't be. Look, in our Christian life, I hate it. I hate it when you go to the hospital and you're in pain and some nurse comes in on a scale of 1 to 10. What's your pain? 37! I hate it when they come in with that. But let's say that Christianity, the lousiest Christian you can be is a 1, and the best you can be is a 10.
Right.
All right? Let's just, for illustration purposes. Well, that if the best you can do is maintain a solid 6, it ought to be solid.
That's it. Sure.
But your Christianity shouldn't be dipping in. All right? You say, well, I was a 6 today, so I can ease off tomorrow and be a 4. No.
No.
You ought to be solid. You ought to be the same. You ought to stay with it. And by the way, if the best you can do today is 6, you ought to try for 7 tomorrow, okay?
Yeah.
We'll try to improve ourselves. We get complacent. We get happy in life. We get to thinking, it doesn't matter. It does matter. God wants us to live right. God doesn't want us just to speak right. He wants us to live right. He doesn't want us to just put on a show. You know, some people can dress it up pretty good and show up at church. But the other 6 days of the week, Katie bar the door. They're the ones that when the preacher catches them. I'll never forget visiting one time. I've told the story, but I like to hear it, so I'm going to tell it again. I believe it was Dad and I were visiting together, and we were headed to this apartment to see these folks. And we're coming around the apartment right here, you know, in the breezeway between the apartments is right there. And we're coming this way, and the guy we're coming to see is right there. And he's got a beer bottle in his hand. And he's walking along like this. and he sees us, and he goes, psst, that beer bottle went right in that little patio area there. Has a wall around it, you know. It'd be a balcony if he was on the second floor, but it was slick, man. Psst, boom, there went. How you doing, preacher? We're not blind, okay? You know, it's amazing, though, people think it's all right if you don't see it. I've knocked on doors. The light goes out on the peephole. Okay? The light goes out on the peephole, and you hear somebody in the back saying, it's the preacher. And then you hear all this scurrying around on the inside. Man, everything's going on. And maybe they'll say, just a second. And then they come, hey, preacher, come on in, come on in. You come in and you sit down and you think, well, what were they doing? I mean, now don't misunderstand me. Amen. Look, if I come to your house, I'm not house inspecting.
No.
Okay? I'm not house inspecting. I want you to say, man, I'm sorry, it's such a mess. If you come into my office, I'm going to say it now. It is a mess. Just go ahead and expect it, all right? My study is a disaster. It looks like a bomb went off and stuff is everywhere. Okay? But I want you to know I know where that stuff is.
Amen.
So stay out of my stuff, all right? But I go in there and people, you know, start apologizing. So I'm thinking, well, what were they doing? It's not really spot cleaned up. There's still papers around. And then I spot the thing they missed.
Right. Oh, yes.
In scurrying and cleaning up, there's a bottle. They missed that one. He said, what'd you do? Well, I jumped up and preached 30 minutes on the evils of booze. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. But I am here to tell you, okay? God wants us to live a holy life. The world tolerates anything. But God made it pretty plain to that religious crowd. He said, you know what? Your life ought to back up what you claim. You ought to be on the inside what you are on the outside. I see people post stuff about people, say, you're beautiful on the inside and outside. I don't know how they got inside and looked around on them people, all right? But I guess they know what they're talking about. I don't know. But I say this, your life ought to be clean on the inside and the outside. The tolerant crowd today can tolerate anything and everything except authority. Authority. We don't want somebody telling us we're wrong.
Amen.
We don't want a book telling us you're wrong. We don't want that. People resist it. We don't like it when somebody says the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. But I'll be honest, folks, I can get up here and lie to you. And I can tell you if you just believe whatever you believe very sincerely, you'll be okay. But that makes me an accessory to your sin. So I can't do that. What you're willing to tolerate, you will soon accept. And what you accept, it will not be too long until you embrace it. You embrace it. Hey, we need to be careful about what we decide we're going to accept. All right? We need to be careful about that. All right? Need to be careful. I'm talking about you and your life, how you live. And just let me ask you tonight, we're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. Let me ask you, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Are you planning on getting to heaven through something other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Do you figure I'll be okay because, hey, Jesus said, if you believe not that I'm He, you'll die in your sin. Hey, the invitation tonight's simple. If you've never trusted Christ, would you come? Would you come? Meet me here at the front and say, preacher, I want to trust Christ. Hey, Christian, how about your living, all right? How about your living? Your lip match your life 7 days a week, 365 days a year? Does it? It needs to. Heavenly Father, I pray you to help us tonight. Help us to see, Lord, that there's some things we're to be intolerant over. You're intolerant about some things. You can't tolerate them. And Lord, we're not to tolerate them. Lord, help us to see ourselves as we really are. Help us see our need. And Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. We'd be honest. Lord, if there's one here never trusted Christ, would you help them tonight? Would you bring conviction? Would you help them to understand there's only one way to heaven? Only one way. Lord, would you help us as Christians to understand we're not to be tolerant in our own lives of sin. We're to be intolerant of it. We're to live right. We're to live a life that's circumspect. And Lord, what we say and what we live ought to match together. If they don't, would you help us tonight to come? Do business at the altar. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please, tonight? We're going to sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. "But that thy blood was shed for me." God's speaking to you. Would you come tonight? Would you come? Not going to sing many verses, so the Lord's dealing with you. Come now. Come on. While we sing, come on. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, folks still praying, doing business with God. Would you pray for the ones that have come tonight? Would you pray for them? There's still time if you need to come. But would you at least pray for those that have come? God will help them. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. The video's not live streaming now, is it? Cut off. Shut her down, right? All right. I really need to castigate my brother, and I did. No, it's okay. That's not what we're